Mike was stunned by me. I know I'm a good-looking guy, Mike. I'm mesmerized you there without turning the lights on. I've asked Jim to preach tonight, kind of just give us a good word. He's always got something good to say. Come on, from the Word of God. So would you just give Jim a good hand as he comes to share the Word? He's going to preach off an iPad tonight, so I don't know. You know, we'll see what happens. Praise the Lord.
I do keep a hard copy there because electronics, sometimes they go crazy on us. So praise God. It's good to be here and hear what God has to say and be here tonight. You know, I heard a story of a preacher who had some problems with his teeth. And he went to the dentist, and the dentist said, you know, we're going to have to take your teeth out and give you dentures. And he said, okay. So they went along with it. And that Sunday he went out to church and he preached for 10 minutes and he was done. And he left. And the next Sunday he went out and he preached for 20 minutes and he was done. And he got off. And the third Sunday he went out and he preached for 2 hours and 35 minutes. And he got done. And that afternoon they were going, what was that? And they asked him, they said, what was with that? He said, well, the first Sunday he said, my gums were killing me and I could only preach for 10 minutes. He said, the second Sunday, my dentures, I was getting used to those, and I, you know, so it hurt a little bit, and I was getting used to them. He said, I know, but what was up with today? He said, well, this morning I got up and I picked up my wife's dentures, and I couldn't stop speaking. So, if you're in here tonight, I'm not going to speak for 10 minutes, and I'm not going to speak for 20 minutes. And if I want to have a good week, I better tell you my wife doesn't have dentures, so I'll speak somewhere in the middle of there. Amen. So, praise God. I want to speak tonight. Well, I didn't tell my other joke, girls, you know. They said, don't tell that one. They think my jokes are corny. Carlos wants it. It may come out. Praise God. I want to speak tonight on, O woman, great is your faith. I want to speak in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. It's the same story. Both Matthew and Mark spoke of this story. In Matthew 15, starting in verse 21, it says, and then Jesus went out there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And he answered and said not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, Jesus just called her a dog? Wow. And she said, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be known to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. In Mark chapter 7, there was a couple other things. I'm just going to read here, starting verse 24. It says, from there he rose and went out to the region of Tyre Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. That was my joke. By birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, Let the children be filled first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And he answered and said to him, yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. And then he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon is gone out of your daughter. And she had come to her house, she found that the demon had gone out and her daughter lying in bed. Here Christ goes into an area, goes into Tyre and Sidon, and all of a sudden, he finds faith. He finds great faith. Great faith. Where all of a sudden he goes, O woman, great is your faith. Now he only said that a couple times in the Bible. O woman, great is your faith. Now when I read that, I thought I could see the disciples standing there. He never said that to me. He never said that to me. And one of the others said, well, you were the one that was afraid in the boat when the storm was there. And then the other one said, well, you couldn't even pray an hour when we went to pray. And then they went back and forth. Well, you cut the guy's ear off and all these different things. And here Jesus says to a woman, O woman, great is your faith. You have great faith. Jesus was finding fruit that he was looking for. I think God looks for faith. God looks for faith in people. He was finding fruit. He was finding it on the edge of the field, not in the center of the field, not in the center of everything that's happening, all his guys and all this stuff, but out in the edge of the field, out on the side, over there, he finds a woman and he sees her. One of the women, it's like on the edge of a field, and here's all the weeds and everything that's growing, and here's one stalk of ear of corn that's just growing like crazy. And you say, where did that come from? That one rooted and took ground, and it stands up. And Jesus looked, and he says, woman, great is your faith. That gives us hope. That in a desolate place, or when you're in a place that seems like, you know, when you look at everybody else looks at you and they're wondering, well, they're not the top of the crop there. Your faith can rise above all the others. Your faith, God can give you strong faith. God can make strong faith when there exists little knowledge. God can make strong faith when there's little encouragement in your life. God can make strong faith when there's little joy inside of you. Strong faith can start to come up and rise up out of anywhere. Amen. Strong faith is a conquering faith. It conquers those circumstances around you. It conquers those things that keep battling you. It brings you to the place where you start to triumph over and over and over again. You start to get a victory over something that you said, I didn't think I'd ever get free from this. Anybody ever get there? Something that you've battled for years? But I'm a Christian. Something you've battled for a long time, and all of a sudden God says, boom, and there's a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Strong faith is what breaks you through that place. And here's a poor Canaanite woman. And he goes and he sees her faith. Faith that will glorify God and His grace to make it to come to pass. Because strong faith glorifies God. Strong faith shows His grace that it's Him that does it, not us. All the way through the Bible, when you read all the stories of the Bible, it's God that comes through. It's God that comes through. It's not the people that come through. And He says, oh woman, great is your faith. This woman, it says, you know, she heard of Jesus. She might have heard a little bit about Him. Hey, Jesus is coming to town. He's over in Sidon. He's coming up here. He's coming to town. And she's got an issue. She's got a daughter that's demon-possessed. She's got a daughter that's having a problem. She needs a miracle. Sometimes we need a miracle because we've done everything we can do. We've done all we can do in our life. We've done all we can do to try. We've done all we can do to pull these things down. And we need a miracle. Amen. Maybe she'd never even seen Him before. Maybe this is the first time she'd seen Jesus. But she said, I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to go to Him. I need a miracle. She is a Greek woman. She's a Syrophoenician. She's not one of the chosen ones. You know what happens when people need miracles? They'll come. When people need miracles, all of a sudden they'll say, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. When people need miracles, they'll say, I'm going to call up so-and-so because I know they know God. And they'll come up to you and they'll say, hey, I know you got a connection with the big guy upstairs. That's how they talk. I know you know how to get in touch. I have a problem. So when you have your situation, know that your miracle is there. Know that unbelievers will come when they get in those places in life. It says that she fell at His feet. She fell at His feet. Lord, help me. She fell at His feet. There's something. People will come running to God. I've seen it over and over and over. The sad thing is sometimes people come in and God does mighty miracles and they don't recognize or don't give Him the glory and they go out the door. And the sad thing about that is down the road you see they're in the same place. Because God has so much for them. And God wants to show them all there is. Jesus, all of a sudden, He spied faith. It was like a jewel in the mud. Something that was down there that just a glitter. You ever go and see something glittering and you wonder, what is that? You're hoping it's a big old diamond. These guys that have these metal detectors and stuff, they're checking things and all of a sudden that little gauge goes like this and they get on the ground and start digging. Because they're hoping they get some. Jesus spied it in the middle of the unbelievers. Out past His guys, He spied a jewel in the mud. And He said, there's faith. There's some faith. Amen. There's faith. God loves faith. He loves it. I think it turns Him on when He sees somebody believing. When He sees somebody saying, God, I don't care, I believe You. He goes, there it is. And all of a sudden He stands up and He says, how can I help you? He says, how can I help you? He gets in that place. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please Him. You cannot please Him without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that He is one. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You come and you have to say, God, You are God. You are above all. I need a miracle and You're Him. You're the miracle worker. You're the one that can do the healing. You're the one that can meet my needs. You're the one that can heal my marriage. You're the one that can save my kids. You're the one that can set me free. And You want to do it. He wants to do it. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And Jesus tries her faith. You know, every diamond, you know, diamonds are just a piece of coal. But it's been put under pressure. We don't like pressure. And then it's been put under pressure for time. It's not something that's been real diamonds. It takes time and it takes pressure for that thing to come out and be where it is. And Jesus tries her faith as a jewel to bring out the quality. O woman, great is thy faith. Maybe you're here and you're struggling with faith tonight. Maybe you're here and you've got some issues that, I need a miracle. I'm tired of this. I've gone through this. Everything else. Well, God is here tonight as a miracle worker. God is here. I want to look at this Canaanite woman. The first thing I saw was faith's mouth cannot be stopped. It said she kept asking. Faith's mouth cannot be stopped. In Mark 7:26, it says she kept asking. In the middle of your difficulties, you need to keep asking. You need to keep going to God. Don't give up on going to God. Don't give up and say, well, I've asked this for a whole month and it hasn't happened. I remember a woman that was praying for her husband. This woman, she prayed for her husband to get saved. Her husband wanted nothing to do with church. And she would come out to church and she would be faithful and she'd be faithful and not just faithful and coming and sitting and leaving. She said, I'm getting involved because she loved God. And she played the keyboards and she worshiped God. and exalted God. And she prayed for her husband for 11 years. 11 years going to church. Boom, 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 boom. Every week. I don't care. I love God. I love God. Her husband said, no, it's football. Her husband said, no, it's this and no, it's that. I don't want it. 11 years she prayed. And she didn't get bitter. And I know in her quiet times, she probably wept tears. Because in our quiet times, sometimes we're going, God, I'm getting weary. God, I'm going through this and I need a miracle. And it was funny. She said, you know, this one Sunday, actually it was Saturday night, their little daughter walked up to him and said, Daddy, would you go to church with me tomorrow? And something hit him. The Holy Ghost got involved in that little girl's voice. And he came out to church, gave his heart to God. Gave his heart to God, totally just repented. Gave his heart to God, said, God, I want you. Now they're going all over the country worshiping God. I have a ministry, a music ministry, worshiping God. And if she'd have given up, if she'd have given up, she kept asking. You ever go down the road and you're going somewhere, and you know the guys do this. You know, I know it's here somewhere. I know it's here somewhere. And you get off on an exit. I hear him laughing already. You get off on an exit, and it's just one more exit down. It's one more exit. You turn off that exit, and I know it's here, and you turn and you go back. And you go back 20 miles. I don't know where it's at. And it was only one exit farther, sitting right there. If she'd have quit 10 years and 11 months, who knows what would have happened? This woman kept asking. Keep asking. Keep going to God saying, God, you are there. You will help me. She believed. She pleaded for her daughter. She said, Lord, help me. She believed. Here she was. She wasn't a Jew. And she believed that He could heal her daughter. She believed that He was, and He was a rewarder. She believed that He was the Messiah. She came into this place and here He was. She was importunate. And I looked the word up. And the word means persistent, especially to the point of annoyance or intrusion. Especially to the point of annoyance or intrusion. You ever have kids? Mom, I want this. Mom, I want this. Mom, can I have this? Mom, can I? And about the fifth time you're going, okay, I heard you. And you do one of two things. You said, I told you no, and I mean no. Or else you go ahead, do it. Which you shouldn't have, but. But you know, it annoys you, that persistence sometimes, to the place that you just finally give in. This woman kept asking. This woman kept asking. And her mouth couldn't be closed. Second thing I saw was faith's mouth cannot be closed when you wonder. When you're wondering, is Christ listening to me? It said she asked Him and He answered her not a word. Here she comes to Jesus. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, please. You ever get where you're wondering if God's here, even hearing you? You don't hear Him speak? You're in that place where you're going and you're saying, you cry out. And you're going, God, I need a miracle here. You know, I've been faithful. I came to church twice this year. You know, this is the place you go to, isn't it? You go and you're crying out. But she was in a place where she just cried out and she fell down at His feet. And her voice, she kept crying out. And you have to do it even if God hasn't spoke to you yet. Even if you haven't heard His voice. Even if it seems like you're falling on deaf ears. See, faith will rise up. faith will rise up and says, I know He heard me. And I know I'll have what I have, what He said. I know that He hears me. I know. And I'm going to pray and I'm going to stand on it even if He hasn't spoke to me. And even Jesus doing that couldn't stop her faith. Even He Himself. This woman said, I'm going to get it from Him. I'm going to get my answer from Jesus. And even when Jesus kind of just stood back and didn't say anything, she kept coming. I can see Jesus on the inside right now. He's probably saying, she's getting this. She's getting this. I've been trying to get these 12 numbskulls to get this for years. They walk right with me and see the miracles, and this woman is getting it. This woman is getting it. He's standing there and he's going, check this out. I haven't answered her. And she still wants an answer. She's still coming for it.
Good.
You know, it's like he's going, Peter, wake up. Look at this.
Yeah.
Amen. See, it's hard to believe when your prayer seems like it's a failure. And those are the times that your faith has to rise up, just like this woman, and say, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep standing. I don't care if I've seen it, if I've not seen it, even if I pray a month or even if I pray a year, I will not doubt because my God is faithful and I'll stand upon that. Job says, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. In another version in the Message, it says, because even if He killed me, I keep on hoping. I'll keep on hoping. It doesn't matter. Even if He's the executioner and He comes, I'm going to believe in the love of God. I'm going to believe in His grace. I'm going to believe that He will help me in the middle of this situation. Just like Abram going up the mountain to sacrifice his son. Here, Abram's going up the mountain because God spoke to him and he had to trust God. And he was taking his son because God did it. And up the other side of the mountain was coming a ram and he didn't even know it. The ram, God was setting him up all the time, but all he had to do was trust God in the middle of that situation. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised or who promised is faithful. Amen. Third thing I saw, faith's mouth cannot be stopped by the disciples. In Matthew 15:23, her noise annoyed them. Here she comes and she's saying, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. All this stuff. And Matthew 15:23 says, but He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Well, I'll tell you a secret. She wasn't crying out after the disciples. She wasn't trying to get to the disciples. She was trying to get to the Master. She wasn't trying to get out to those guys. I can see Peter's there scowling. You know, she's a Gentile. We don't deal with Gentiles. I mean, we deal with Jews. John, he's impatient. He's just, you know, get her out of here. We got, you know, and Andrew and Philip, they're just presumptuous. They're just trying to figure this thing out. You know, and all these, and she goes, I'm not coming to them. I want Him. I want Jesus. I want to come to Jesus. She still believes. She wouldn't keep silent. She'd be in that place. Amen. That's like blind Bartimaeus. He heard that Jesus was coming through town. And he cried out and he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples, shh, we're in church. You don't be that loud in church. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he cries out all the louder, Son of David! Have mercy on me. And it says Jesus stopped. That faith rose up. Faith rose up when everybody else couldn't do it. Oral Roberts said, every day a miracle is coming to you or passing by you. So every day there's a miracle right there. It is going by and you have to cry out, Son of David! That's my miracle! That's my miracle! I see some people sometimes when they're up front and they're getting prayed for and they're getting prayed for a healing, and I'll say, I'll take a healing also. They'll get a word how God is going to move. And I say, I'll take that too. Son of David. There is a miracle that's going by you and you need to reach out and grab it. This woman would not stop. Faith's mouth would not stop because of the disciples trying to go and stop her. Don't bow to people's opinion. When people try to push you off and say, well, you can't believe for that. You can't go that far. You can't ask for that. Don't go and get in a place where you try to go and don't bow to their opinion and their thoughts. Go to Jesus. Get His thoughts. Get what He has for you. Go and reach out in that place. Fourth thing I saw is faith's mouth could not be stopped by doctrine. Doctrine. It's funny how doctrine lots of times tries to confine your blessing. Doctrine. Well, you can't really do that. We don't do that like that here. You know, I've in my church, and we go and doctrine, they said it was for the Jews only. He answered, and he said, I was not sent except to the house, lost sheep of the house of Israel in Matthew 15:24. He said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now that could have hit her hard. That could have hit her real hard. This is for the Jews. I'm not a Jew. I'm lost here. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. I'm not one of the ones. And it might have hit her hard that this is all for them. In the flesh, she wasn't a Jew. But in the spirit, she was. In the flesh, you're not a Jew, but you have been grafted into the vine. You have been grafted in Christ. And you are there. That no matter what situation you're at, you may have grown up and never been in church all your life. You might have grown up and been in some wild cult. But all of a sudden, if you come and you ask Jesus into your heart, you are grafted in. And your faith does not need to stop because you said, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up going through that. You can keep pressing through and saying, Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. And your faith will start to grow to a whole different dimension. Fifth thing I saw is faith's mouth cannot be closed by unworthiness. Lots of times we think we aren't worthy. What a lie. We think we're not worthy. Jesus said, she's a dog. Now that could have hit hard too. That could have hit hard when he said, you know, she's a Gentile. The Gentiles were classified as dogs to the Jews. The Gentiles were classified as a lower class. And so many Christians, here they are Christians, and they live in condemnation. They live feeling unworthy. I can't ask God. They live in a place that I'm not in that place. I don't sit in the front. I sit back here and I sneak in. I'm not worthy. And they walk in condemnation when the Bible says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That when you come and you come into that place that God loves you. And you don't need to walk in condemnation anymore.
Right.
You don't need to walk in condemnation. Matthew 11:22 says, have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Another translation says, grab a hold of God's faithfulness. Grab a hold of God's faithfulness. When you get in that situation, grab a hold of God's faithfulness. Yeah, but you don't know what I've gone through. Grab a hold of God's faithfulness. Yeah, but I tried and I failed. He's not done with you yet. He's the author and the finisher. The beginning and the end. What He's begun in you, He shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He shall complete it. He is on, grab a hold of God's faithfulness. But I have a hard time that God loves me. His love towards you is not because of what you've done. It's because of what He's done. His love towards you isn't... God, if you do all good, God won't love you anymore. And if you do bad, God won't love you any less. Because His love came out and He died for you. He loves you so much. Grab a hold of God's faithfulness. Well, the doctors gave me this report and it's not good. Grab a hold of God's faithfulness. My husband left me and I'm a single mom and I'm alone. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He will always be there for you. Grab a hold of God's faithfulness. See, guilt and condemnation in your life tells you that you really don't believe that all your sins have been forgiven. When you walk in condemnation, you don't believe all my sins have been forgiven. But the blood of Jesus has washed away every one of your sins. Past, present, future. You know, all your sins when Jesus died on the cross were future. They were all future. You weren't even born yet. And we think, well, God's forgiven me already, but if I fail tomorrow, He's forgiven you. The blood of Jesus has washed you clean. The blood of Jesus has set you free. And you don't need to walk in condemnation anymore. His love is not contingent on your behavior, but entirely on the grace of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ and all He's done for you already. And faith's mouth cannot be stopped when you start to feel unworthy. You rise up and you say, I don't care, I believe You, Father. I am not unworthy because I am grafted into the vine. I'm one of Your children. And you come into that place. Zechariah 9:12 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Prisoners of hope. Prisoner. I'm a prisoner of hope. All I can do is hope. You may have been a prisoner of fear, and you might have been a prisoner of discouragement. You might have been a prisoner of doubt. And you might have been a prisoner of condemnation. But today, you're a prisoner of hope. You've been chained to hope. You've been chained to believing God and His faithfulness for you. See, faith, hope, and love never cease, the Bible says. So you can grab a hold of hope and say, I'm going to believe. And this woman said, I'm going to believe in His faithfulness. I don't care if He doesn't talk to me. I don't care if He calls me a dog. I don't care if the disciples put me away. I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. And we get in that place that we have to say, yes, I believe that. I see one of the things that this woman did is she yielded. She yielded. She said, yes, Lord. She said, yes, Lord. You have to yield. You have to yield to God in the middle of your situation. Mark 2:17 says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. John 3:17 said, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come. But when you recognize, God, I'm a sinner. And you've come to Him and you lay down your life to Him. He says, there, that's the person. She goes, yes, Lord. She was totally dependent on the goodness of Christ's heart. She was totally dependent on, He's going to go and help me. She had faith in His grace. Only faith in His grace will qualify God's people for great faith. It's not going to be in what you do. It's not going to be you struggling, trying to believe, trying to figure it out. God's got it all under control. I like what Pastor Mark said. He said, you know, I never heard where God said, uh-oh. Didn't see that coming. Uh-oh. That's a tough one. Let me think now. God doesn't do that. God's got it all under control. God's got it all under control for you. God's got it all under control for your situation. She had faith in His grace. She had faith that it was going to be His goodness, His grace. It wasn't going to be in the goodness of her cause. My daughter. Look at my daughter. No, it was her that tapped into Him. If it was because of the needs in society, Africa would be totally evangelized right now. But it's the gospel going forth. The gospel of grace, where you can know Him. And when you know Him, you'll know He will no wise cast you out. He will not separate you. John 6:37 in the Amplified says, "All whom my Father gives in trust to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, no, never reject one of them who comes to me." You're not rejected. You come to Him, you'll not be rejected. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6, having predestined us to the adoption as the sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Faith doesn't dispute what God says. Faith doesn't dispute, it agrees. Unbelief disputes. Unbelief says, "I am not a dog. What are you calling me, a dog? Look at me. Look at the job I got. Look at what I am. Look at what I've got, a nice car." She didn't say that. She said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Genuine faith believes anything the Lord says. She agreed with Him. She said, "Truth, Lord, I might be a dog. I might be a dog." She stood there. Then in Matthew 15 it says something that says, "Well, the children must be fed first." It's funny, you know, because you as a parent, you want to feed your kids. That's what you think about, feeding your kids. And Jesus turns and says, "Well, the children must be fed first." And she says, "That's fine. Yet, You're still my Lord." She kept going. She kept pushing. Faith argues and says, "I want this. I'm gonna fight for it." It's just like Jacob. He battled with an angel of the Lord all night. He said, "I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. I'm going all the way here." Yeah. Abraham, here he is with Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's saying, "God, and don't destroy them if there's 50. Don't destroy them." And he goes all the way down through. You know, you can do that when you have a revelation. You know the love of God. You know His nature. It kind of argues with God and stands your stand in faith. Doesn't dispute Him. Doesn't dispute Him. She goes, "Yes, Lord." But the little dogs get to eat the crumbs. The little dogs can get crumbs. She said, "Lord, I'm not a dog on the street. I'm one of the Master's dogs. I might be a dog, but I'm under Your table. I'm under Your table." And they get to eat. The dog's under the table. "Just give me a doggy bag. Just give me any. Just, I will take that." You know, you ever see that? "We just got a new puppy. Oh, yeah." But all of a sudden, caught somebody last night. "Are you feeding that dog under the table?" I won't say who it is, but they're here tonight. And the Master's dog gets the crumbs, gets the snacks under the table. Gets those things, you know, that sometimes the children don't want. And they'll say, they're just sitting there going, "I'll take it, I'll take it, I'll take it." You know? She knew the character of Jesus. She knew the character of Jesus. And she said, "I'll take anything. I get the crumbs. I'm not a dog that's just running wild here. I'm one of Your dogs. I'm under the table." She just kept coming. and kept coming. And Jesus going, this woman is getting it. This woman has got it. Amen. Faith's mouth gets the children's bread. Faith's mouth gets the children's bread. What's the children's bread? Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ to all generations forever and ever. 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As His divine power, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we've been given to us exceeding and great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is the children's bread? Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. All your sins are forgiven. Who gets in that place? Who goes and heals all your diseases? Children's bread, who redeems your life from destruction? Who goes and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that the youth is renewed like eagles? Into a place you see freedom from sin. You see healing. You see deliverance. You see prosperity. You see joy come in your life. What? That's the children's bread that you can reach out and grab. Hallelujah. As your faith reaches out. And the greatest thing of all is we do not need to wait for Jesus to come walking in town anymore. We don't need to wait for Him to come to San Diego because the Spirit of God is already here. And all we have to do is look to the finished work of Christ on the Calvary and the death and resurrection and His resurrection and the blood of Jesus. We look to that and we say, I stand in that. What He's done for me already. What He's done for me in my life. And Jesus starts to find fruit in the here and there and here and there. Somebody's faith starts rising up and you see God do a miracle in a moment of time. You see God starts and your faith doesn't become a struggle anymore. It doesn't become a struggle. You start breaking those barriers and you start receiving His grace. You start receiving that place. Oh woman, great is your faith. He's talking to a woman and He's saying, great is your faith. And she gained great faith and she saw the fruit of her faith. She gained the desire of her faith. The devil was gone from her daughter. And He says, be unto thee, even thou as thou will. Be it unto you as you will. Be it unto you. Amen. He saw the faith just rise up and He said, this woman has faith. This woman has faith wherever you're at. Wherever, whatever wounds you're going through and you've had and hurts and in your life, whatever area it might be, whether it's your finances, whether it's sickness, it doesn't matter. Whether it's something in your mind that you're going through, He is here to touch you and help you. Jeremiah 30 verse 17 says, I will restore you and I will heal your wounds. I will move in that place and touch your life. And God tonight wants to touch people and bring them to a place where your faith starts to become great faith. Great faith. As you take these points and you start to say, God, I'm going to trust in You and nothing's going to stop me from getting to You anymore. Nothing's going to stop You, me from touching You. And I'm going to see the power of God and the resurrection of God. I'm going to see the miracle working power of God. And I thank You for it right now. Hallelujah. So tonight, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to believe God just start to stir your faith. There's people in here right now that you have areas, wounds and hurts. And you say, oh, I don't know if I can believe. Keep believing. Even if you haven't heard Him speak. Keep believing. Even though people have gone and said things. Keep believing. Even though you feel unworthy. Let your faith have a voice. That's why I say when we pray, let your faith have a voice. Speak out. Speak out. Let your voice come out. Because I think it was Pastor Mark again, I heard him say that your voice is the address. Is your address for the Holy Spirit to come down. And as you start to speak those things and faith starts to rise up from the inside, God says, there is great faith. There is great faith. And God starts to move and touch, and the angels are sent on your behalf for your situation, and your miracle will manifest. I believe God. I have things that I'm still believing for. Amen. Faith, you know, and this is just a... I'm going long. You didn't listen quick enough like that. just quick. Your faith isn't so you can get a new Cadillac. Your faith isn't for you to get the biggest, you know, diamond ring, even though those things are nice. Paul said, I kept the faith and I finished my course. Your faith is for you to finish the course that God has for your life. Great faith to say, God, you have something for my life and I'm going to finish the course. With Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was 60 years old. He walked in. Here he was. Didn't have it. He was broke. 60 years old and broke. He walked into a restaurant with his last quarter, got a cup of coffee, and the cook called him over the counter. He said, what's up, old man? He said, you want a good recipe for some finger-licking chicken? He said, what do you got? And he went in the back and Kentucky Fried Chicken was born. And you know what happened? It was a few years later. He was 70 years old. He got born again in a church in Louisiana. Wrote a check for $50,000 and gave it to the pastor that day. That'll make any pastor happy. Amen? He wasn't ready to die. He said, I've got things to do and finish my course. Smith Wigglesworth was 58 years old before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Never preached. He'd get up there and stutter and get afraid, and his wife would go preach. He'd go sit in the back. He'd let her preach. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost and his whole life changed. He became an apostle of faith. Saw multitudes of people raised from the dead. Saw God shake the world with the gospel. And still, even after he's dead and gone and in heaven, he is shaking the world with his testimony. He's finished his course and his course is still going before him. God has faith to rise up in you to change people in this place tonight. So you can finish your course. So you can stand and you can see and God can turn and say, oh man, great is your faith. And I can say, yes! Or you can say, oh woman, great is your faith. And he can reach down. So tonight, why don't we just stand for a minute? I'm just going to pray. I want to pray, God, just stir you with these words. Stir you with faith. Father, I thank you right now for these people. They come to you. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, give them strong faith. Give them strong faith, Father. Show them how they can finish their course and they can walk it, how they can go out into the world, how they can fulfill all you have for them. Do miracles tonight in Jesus' name. Let them reach out and grab a hold of your faithfulness. Grab a hold of your faithfulness, Father. I pray right now for every single need in this place. I speak miracles in this house right now. I speak the healing power of God to touch bodies right now. I take authority over sickness and disease and I command it to go in Jesus' name and faith to rise up to receive in Jesus' name. I pray for children that have gone astray and we believe for them, Lord God, that you will save our children and the blessing will be upon our households in Jesus' name. And I thank you for every need. Minds right now that are tormented with condemnation, I break that power tonight. There's no condemnation anymore. In the name of Jesus, that they walk out into victory. Victory tonight for everyone. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, speak to them tonight in the quiet place. Speak to them tonight of your love. Speak to them tonight of your grace. Speak to them tonight of all that you have for them. And Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. Let's just worship him right now. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father. Lift your voice to the Lord tonight. Lift your voice and thank him tonight for all he's done and all he's going to do. Lift your voice to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, Father. I praise you and I thank you and I worship you right now. Oh, faith, arise in the name of Jesus. Faith, arise right now for each and every person. I thank you and bless you, Lord God. I bless you, Lord God. I bless you. You are the author. You are the finisher. And you've begun a good thing in us tonight. And I praise you, Lord God. Look down and say, oh, great is your faith. Look down upon these people and say, oh, great is your faith. Oh, I praise you right now. Father, you are so good. You are so good. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I praise you. I praise you. And I thank you, Lord God. Oh, your love. Your love, your love, your love, your love, your love. The love of God in this house right now. The love of God upon people right now. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, right now. Miracles. Miracles in this house. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Come on, everybody. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit more. Come on, stir yourself up. Come on, if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, just be filled with the Spirit right now. Come on, just pray out of your spirit.